is what we do. Shavuos then. So if you take a look at your source sheet at the third side of the sheet, when chametz is better than matzah, Rav Kook on the loaves of Shavuot. And this is an idea which I actually, oh, it's got to be, it's 6 years ago. I did this in one form at the Tikkun Yom at the Bayit on Shavuos, but I decided that it was too convoluted. It needed to be abbreviated and we just sort of just to condense it, strip out some of the parts that aren't necessary to it. And that's what you have now is a slimmed down version of that idea. I think the only person here, at least whose screen is on, who was there, might have been Alina. You might have been there. I don't know if TKO or Roberta, I don't know if any of you were there. But in any case, it's an idea which I think is really important, far beyond Shavuos. It's important for us personally. It's important for the way that we look at our children and the way that we look at our neighbors. And it's based on an idea of Rav Kook, which he talks about he's talking about the karbanos, the sacrifices that are brought on the second day of Pesach and on Shavuos. I don't view his explanation of those karbanos as pshat in the karbanos. I don't think he's giving you the straight meaning of the karbanos, but I do view his message as pshat in life. I think what he has to say here is really important as a life lesson. So I start off with our questions. On Shavuos, we bring a special karban, a special offering to Hashem. It consists of two loaves of bread, called the shtei halechem, two loaves of bread, and they are specifically chametz. Most of the grain offerings that are brought are matzah. When you read about the grain offerings in the Torah, they tend to be matzah. However, this, the Torah says specifically, al chalot lechem chametz. So, yeah, Susan, it's Shavuos, it's not Pesach. Yeah. So, the main question I want to ask is, why are we using chametz for this offering? In source number one, I brought you a short line from Rav Kook's commentary to the Gemara in Brachos, in which he says something that you've probably seen in one form or another. It shows up a lot in different texts. Hachametz moreh al harava hakilkul. Chametz represents evil and corruption, right? That's why we get rid of it for Pesach. So why are you specifically bringing a gift to God 7 weeks later out of evil and corruption? It's a very strange thing, but it's exactly what the Torah prescribes. So that's question number one, and it's the main question. And then I have two subsidiary questions that emerge from this. Number one, the Pesach Omer. On the second day of Pesach, we bring a Karban Omer. It's also grain. It is barley. Whereas the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves of Shavuos, are wheat. The Torah says explicitly the Shtei Halechem that these two loaves are made of wheat. The Omer being barley is less explicit, but nonetheless universally understood as the Gemara explains. So, again, why the switch? Why did you go from barley for the Omer to chametz for the two loaves? All of this about the different sacrifices that you're bringing in their nature is found in source number two on your sheet. I gave you a list there. Originally I was going to bring you all the verses, but then figured this would be clearer. So the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, and it's barley flour. The two loaves are brought on Shavuos, and they are made of wheat, and they are chametz. So why did we switch from barley to wheat? What's the significance of that? And why are we bringing chametz, which is described as being corruption? And then the third and last of our questions, also subsidiary to the first one, and that is about the karban todah, the thanks offering. If somebody goes through an experience for which they wish to thank Hashem for what has happened, this is parallel to the Birkas HaGomel, that people make when they're saved from a dangerous situation. So when we have a Beis HaMikdash, you bring a Karban Todah, an offering of thanks, which includes 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them are matzah, 10 of them are chametz, and they are made of wheat, as I put in source number 2. And my question now is, I told you that most of our grain offerings are matzah. Why is there chametz in a thanks offering? So again, three questions. Why are the loaves of Shavuos chametz? Why do we use barley on Pesach but wheat on Shavuos? And why is the Karban Todah, the thanks offering, made out of chametz as well as matzah? Clear? And I realize that sacrifices are a little esoteric. People usually think about, when they think about Shavuos, they think about ice cream and blintzes and staying up all night learning Torah, eating ice cream and blintzes. But nonetheless, I think the idea that comes out of it will be an idea that is very clear and relevant. So in order to address this, I want to take the third question first. And that's the one of why the thanks offering, the Karban Todah, includes chametz. Rav Kook, in his commentary to Maseches Brachos, offers us an idea which I brought you here in source number 3. And I'm going to read out my English translation. He says, the Karban Todah comes to express thanks for the good that happened via bad causes. Right? A person was in a bad situation. They were in trouble. They didn't want to be in that situation in the first place. They were saved from it. Now they're going to thank Hashem. So a bad thing happened, and it led to something good. The joy comes after fear and danger, and the joy itself is good. And it could not happen without first having the bad. As the sages said, regarding a pasuk in Micha, had I not dwelled in darkness, God would not have been light for me. I had to be in the dark in order to appreciate the light. Although it would have been better for a person not to have been created, he's quoting here a debate between Hillel and Shammai in the Gemara in Erevin, in terms of the material and spiritual troubles he experiences, in that sense, a person would have been better off. They wouldn't have had all these troubles. In the end, his completeness is certain, meaning, for a person to achieve greatness is guaranteed. That's the philosophy of Rav Kook. We're all going to get there. The only question is how long it's going to take us. He says, all of the evil prepared for... I'm sorry, I jumped a line. And all is prepared for the feast. Therefore, in the future he will see God's hand, that all is for the good, that all of the evil prepared for the true good. It may be better for the person not to have been created in the sense that they wouldn't have gone through all the turmoil of life. But look what they're going to achieve. This is why the Karban Todah will not be nullified. He's referring to a medrash here which says that in the future, many of the sacrifices will disappear, but the Karban Todah, the thanks offering, will remain. He says, why? Only via the Karban Todah do we recognize the need for the bad in order to achieve the completeness of the good. And he says that's why it includes chametz. The Karban Todah has to include chametz in order to say we had a bad experience, but now we're in a good place, and the bad was necessary in order for us to get to the good. You follow? This is a very important idea to Rav Kook. This is a theme in a lot of his writing. It's part of a Kabbalistic idea that everything in the universe, the bad and the good, have a purpose. And please don't ask me the Holocaust question because I'm not going to have an intelligent answer. But everything in the universe is believed to have a reason and a function and a benefit. And Rav Kook likes to use it in Arot HaTshuva, where he talks about repentance. And he talks about how sin leads to... sin leads to merit in the end. How when people do something wrong, that triggers their tshuva, it triggers their repentance, and it helps them to grow. I brought you in source number 4, where he says this about the Haggadah, We say in the Haggadah, Maschil Bignus U'Misayim B'Shevach. You start out with degradation. You talk about how we were slaves and we come from idolaters, and then we end up in a good place. It's a function of what we went through before. That's what creates our good position in the end. So that's the idea of the Karban Todah using using chametz. The message is, remember the chametz you experienced because it's what put you into a good place in the end. That's his starting point. Is that clear? Whether we accept or always see it to be true in our lives is another story. But that's the concept. The concept is the bad leads to the good, and we honor that with chametz in a karban todah, in a thanks offering. Bringing that a step further, that's why we have, hang on 1 second, Susan. That's why we have it for Shavuos as well. Meaning, the danger that we suffered in Egypt was meant to bring us closer to God, to appreciate what we have. And since Shavuos is a culmination of Pesach, right? Shavuos is seen as the end of the Pesach experience. So now we are honoring the experience that we had on Pesach by making our shtei alechem, our two loaves, out of chametz. Yes, Susan.
This concept of we need bad to have good, is that a Kabbalah concept or
yes,
a strong Jewish concept?
Like so that? I view Kabbalah as largely Jewish. So no, the mystics love it, but it's an outgrowth of sort of basic Jewish ideas. The mystics are the ones who really develop it. But for example, we say that Hashem created everything. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya which says that Hashem is the Oseh Shalom Uborei Ra. Hashem creates that which is bad as well. So the idea of crediting Hashem with that is natural to us, and the idea that this is something which that this is something which must have something good or God wouldn't have created it is also fundamental to Judaism. There's much more to be said, but when you think of like Gamzu Latova, right? The idea that all is for the best, like that sees it as well. So to summarize what we've said, the value of chametz in the Karban Todah, in the thanks offering, is in order to remember the bad that led to the good, that created the rescue for which we're thanking Hashem now. That's number one. And number two, going back to our second question, why is it that the Shavuos offering, or the first question really, why is it that the Shavuos offering is chametz? The answer is, in order for us to recognize the good in the Egypt experience. What about the wheat? How about the wheat? Why is it that we go from barley on Pesach to wheat on Shavuos? So take a look, please, at source number 5, also Rav Kook, this time in Arot Yisrael. He speaks of the idea, and those who like barley in their cholent, I apologize, but he speaks about the idea that barley is animal food, and wheat is human food, which is an idea found in the Gemara. Rav Kook did not invent that. That's not a Kabbalistic idea. That's a basic idea. He says, human frailty causes a person who is gifted in intellectual analysis to have a weaker inclination toward faith. He says, you often find that people who are more academic, who are more intellectual, tend to have a harder time with emuna, with the idea of faith in Hashem. And a person who is whole in faith, to reduce his intellectual insight and wisdom of the heart. We find that people who are good in their emunah tend to reduce their intellectual investigation. This is not a statement about 100% of humanity. He's making a generalization, and That's what generalizations are. He says, you tend to find that people will emphasize one or the other. But the goal of the straight path, he says, is that each strength not reduce the other and not be reduced by the other, but rather that both be revealed at full strength as though it alone was in control. He says, that's not what we want. What we want is for people to have both sides, to have the intellectual side and to have the emunah side. He says, faith must be as complete as if there was no possibility of analysis. And complementing this must be a force of intellect which is elevated and energized as though there were no force of faith in the soul. He quotes you the line from Tehillim from Psalms, Adam uvehema, man and animal, right? That's the Hashem will say, both. Clever in intellect and making themselves as beasts, as though they were not thinking. And he says, therefore, Pesach is joined with Shavuos via the counting of the Omer in the Beis Hamikdash, joining the barley mincha, animal food, the natural inclination, with wheat, human food, intellectual and spiritual elevation. And he quotes you the Gemara that says the tree of knowledge was actually wheat, which we've discussed on other occasions. These two elemental forces reveal their full value and activity in the depths of the spirit and the breath of life when they are manifest, each in its independent full form. What he is saying is, we start out with barley on Pesach. That's the barley of the unthinking creature. We arrive at Shavuos when we receive the Torah, and we have the wheat, and we really need both. So to sum up what Rav Kook is saying here, and this is, I gave you review questions at the bottom. Chametz symbolizes corruption and harm and bad things. Matzah is the opposite. It's something that is pure. Wheat symbolizes the intellect. Barley symbolizes simple faith. Chametz is appropriate within the Karban Todah, the thanks offering in particular. We want to have the chametz there in order to remember what we endured in order to get where we are. And chametz wheat is appropriate for Shavuos because we want to remember where we started on Pesach, and we want to highlight what way, and that was a barley offering, and then we want to combine that with the wheat on Shavuos. As I said in the beginning, I don't think this is pshat. I don't think this is a straight read, just because if this were really true, then I would think that in the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, we should really use chametz and matzah. Right? That's what I would have said. I would think it should be chametz and matzah. That's fine. But I think his core idea, the idea that we look back at where we came from and recognize in it that that's the root of where we are today, I think that's huge. I think that's really, really important on Shavuos. Obviously, one reason why it's important is to understand our journey, right? And that way we'll grow. I think also, like we often say on Pesach, Maschil Beginus, remember where we came from, as a matter of Hakaras HaTov. Right? We are recognizing the good that has been given to us. We are recognizing and valuing Hashem's kindness to us. There's also an element of humility in it. Right? Remember where you came from. Remember where you once were. And it wasn't so hot. But the big point to me, and the point I like to emphasize when you hit Shavuos, is think back. If however long ago, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever it is, you were back, you were lowly, you were the barley, you were the chametz, whatever it is, if that's where you were back then, and yet here you are today so much better, then think about what you could be doing tomorrow with the chametz that you have today. In other words, people see the chametz they have now and they get discouraged. They feel like, what do I have? What can I achieve? I've got so many problems. I have so many weaknesses. Your weaknesses before brought you to where you are today. Your weaknesses of today will bring you still further tomorrow. And I think that's a really important idea, particularly for Shavuos, right? To sit down and think about our journey to Torah throughout our own lives. And whether that's been just, you know, the 47 days at this point since Pesach, or whether it's since kindergarten, or whether it's since whatever moment we decided we wanted to start learning. There's the value of being humbled and thinking about how far we've come. There's the value of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing the, what brought us to this point, but also looking for similar patterns and catalysts in our own lives as we go forward. That's the idea. Clear? Okay? All right. Then thank you, and we'll go over to Shmuel now.